to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show, produced by Ever Beyond Radio and broadcast on Wolf Spirit Radio on the first and third Sundays of the month at 7 p.m. UK time. Simon actively encourages you to join the conversation by using the Ask Question menu link at the top of the page at wowwowwow.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. Please come early to ask your questions. Now, on with the show. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon in playing an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Oh yes, the 19th of March, 2017. Just get that in there. Hello everybody. A slightly later Connecting Consciousness, mainly due to, well, I call it Nightmare Fortnight, which is when the American clocks change and then nothing else changes in the world apart from the American clocks, and then 2 weeks later everybody else catches up. So for that reason, we're kind of compromising. We're about halfway through the gap hour, and Simon is now clear and available to hear us. How are you, Simon?
I'm fine, thanks, JP. Normally we run from 7 o'clock GMT until 9 o'clock, and obviously we've started a bit earlier.
That's right.
To accommodate, you know. Yeah, I'm fine. I wanted to sort of do the usual update, and I'm going to do the thanking people for donations. I'll do that in the second half of the show because we've obviously started differently, but I'll do that in the second half. I wanted to do the update. The first thing is to tell everybody that the chemtrailing has increased dramatically, both in the United Kingdom and Great Britain. And please don't take too much notice of people who start telling you that chemtrailing is nearly stopped, or it has stopped, or it's being reduced. I will need to say to you that the very crazy people, the evil people, have decided that they feel that they can bring some form of control by upping the ante. So for a number of months, actually, they've been holed up mentally, unsure about what they wanted to do, and a sizable proportion of them have decided to come out fighting. In other words, having decided on a course of action, they have decided not to try and make good. They've decided not to turn their back on the evil ways. They've decided that they're going to come out and fight like hell. And that is why chemtrailing has increased dramatically. And I would be very interested if listeners to the show over the coming few days can just, you know, when they do a question, just add in to that question which city they've seen a lot of chemtrailing. And what's also happening is they're now combining HAARP with chemtrailing. So you're looking not just for chemtrails, but crisscrossing of chemtrails, and then a feathered effect or a furrowing effect where the HAARP high resonation is being passed through the chemtrails and exciting the particles of the chemtrails and diffusing them and activating some of the materials in them. So this isn't about being fearful. What I'm saying to you is that do not buy the line that we've nearly won. Don't buy the line that it's all over bar the shouting. There's a proportion of these evil people who have decided that if they're going down, they want to take others down with them. So keep a log, if you like, please. People, have a look out and see and check that out. If you possibly can, if you have a lot of chemtrailing over you, don't go out. Easy to say, isn't it? You've got to go to work, you've got to do out. But if possible, don't go out if there's a great deal of chemtrailing over you. Because at the moment, I understand they're putting some pretty nasty stuff into it. So that's the first thing that covers a lot of countries. Secondly, the same group have decided that they want to take not literally, but they want to take the President of the United States out. They don't mean they want to kill him. They want to totally remove his authority. And they've organized a position with the Fed and several other media companies to attempt to undermine the standing that the President has. That's very sad. I had hoped that some of these elite people would be prepared to sit around a table and hold a discussion, and ultimately they think they can win. That's what it boils down to. They think that they can win. They think that they can achieve what they can achieve. So I'm afraid the people of America are in for a bit of a rough ride in terms of the system versus the President. And I think what we might see is part of the government shutdown. There will be a shortage of cash, and this will be deliberate, and they may well try and close down some of the local government. The Republican senator who was caught with a minor and will face charges, there will be a huge plan to undermine the Senate, the Republican control of the Senate. Not so easy in the Congress, but they are going to try and undermine the Republican control of the Senate, and they will target any senator now, or congressman, if they can, or congresswoman, if they think they can remove that, trying to reduce the President's ability to put legislation through both houses. And it's a very sad time when these evil people could have really made a difference, but have decided that they're not going to give in. And these are people we call as Anunnaki. These are the true Anunnaki. These are the people who were, I use the word loosely, were bequeathed the running of the planet by real aliens, and then they decided they would run the show themselves. So that's very difficult. I think we're still on track for some form of disclosure this year. Still believe that we're on track. That's still looking quite strong. The situation in Antarctica has developed. Certain elements of hardware are on the verge of being brought out. So some of the technology has been successfully isolated. Excuse me, that's the first thing you have to do, is you have to isolate a piece of equipment so that it doesn't trigger something else. And that has been done, and that will begin to be flown out. They're not bringing it out by ship. They're going to try and fly out, although some of it will have to come on by boat. Now that will begin to leak out. There will be information. There will be some form of leak out. So I want people to keep their eyes open on the alternative news. Something's going to come out on that. The situation in Holland, the Dutch election, the party that I thought might win came second. They are the second largest party. And of course the stocks and shares and the financial side sort of thought, oh, that's it. The challenge is off. Not really. It's just a blip. There was a huge smear campaign that was done against this guy, Kurt Wilders, was accused of being a Nazi, and that probably cost him the election. Now, whether he is or not doesn't matter. The fact is that the established media got in there and were able to sabotage that election. And we've got other important elections coming up in Italy, one in France, and at a later date there'll be one in Germany. So this isn't going away. They've just postponed something. So right across the board, whether it's energetic, whether it's physical with the economy, there are big, big changes coming this year. And so the eye of the storm, which I said last radio show, is just moving across now, excuse me, and we are now coming into a more volatile period. So I'll have more information and updates next radio show, but people who watch or listen know that gold prices have just gone mad. As always, and I always said, that's a big indicator of something. We know that silver took a hit, and now gold prices are quite high. And some people now can't afford the gold. I mean, the ordinary man and woman in the street now is really struggling. If they want to invest in gold, they can't. It's overpriced, but that's deliberate. So we're on the verge of some more issues coming very, very soon. So you know, just please keep your head down, but don't fall for this. We've nearly won. Everybody's been arrested. All the bankers have been arrested. All the reptilians have left. All the Anunnaki are being rounded up. Everything's fine. You know, I have no problem with people who put out what they believe to be their truth. But when dissemination of falseness is being put out, when fake news is being put out, when it's designed to throw people off track and to make people lower their guard, that's what I object to. And I've always said it, and I'll keep on saying it. If we really were living in a utopia, or wouldn't have what's happening to us. So don't drop your guard, people. Please be strong and just keep an eye on it. So that's it, JP. But other than that, we're ticking along okay. So thank you. We're going to move on to the questions then.
Oops, there we go. Fabulous. Thank you very much, Simon, for your announcings. Right, we are going to be changing our schedule just after the show. We used to have the ODD Collective. We're now going to have some connecting consciousness roundtables. So we're going to have your group discussing your stuff after your show. How cool is that? So, let's get to the questions. Right, so, just waiting for the page to come up. Oh, I see none. Oh, wrong web form. Sorry, this is, where is it? Sorry about this, Simon. We changed the
okay.
The way this happened. Do you have any more bits?
I would sing, but we would lose every listener in the world.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. You know the whole you were talking one day. You were talking like you were in a sort of canteen place with the mantids, and they were they were singing something. They weren't really singing. Well, they weren't singing the way we were singing, but there was some sort of
It's more of a chanting, but many people think that aliens don't have a sense of humor. And by and large, I suppose that's true, but there are some that, they foster a sense of humor when they work with humans because they know it's very important. And they don't use it themselves because they just don't, but they will understand the concept of it and they will show emotions to humans. To try to form that connection. So they don't sing in the true sense of the word as we would understand it, but they will make sounds which have a harmonic resonance to them. And they can, I don't know if the term is pitch, but they can raise and lower it. And they do express themselves when they're happy. When they are pleased or elated or happy, they will make us what we would call a singing sound. Now the reptilians are incapable of that. The reptilians do not sing, can't make a sound, and don't express themselves in a happy way. That's probably why they're so screwed up, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas beings that do have a soul that's happy and can connect will be able in some shape or form to express themselves, as we would understand. But there are some aliens that are incapable of that. And it doesn't mean that they're wrong. It just means that their connection to source is that much less.
Mm.
You know, the further the way you are from source, the less you have about emotionality, really.
That's fascinating. I always love these little, tiny little smidgens when we're not in a formal place and I just ask you a little question and it just comes out that's a total nugget. And because you see, the thing is when I'm happy, I notice that I'm happy because I'm noticing that I'm singing.
There you go.
Yeah, it's like joy and singing go hand in hand. So, now, let's get to the questions. I've managed to find them all. There's hundreds of questions that they're kind of tucked in a different place now to where they used to be in the website. So, let's have a look. Right. Okay, so I'm going to start at this morning's, starting at this morning questions. Oh, they're all huge questions. Look at this. Okay, so, okay. Kick back. Here we go. First one. From, all right, alien visit at night. Okay. Dear Simon, last night I had an experience that I believe may have had several times before. In the middle of the night, I felt my body being lifted and tilted backwards with my knees bent. As I was being lifted, I wanted to speak out, but my ability to talk was being suppressed. I started chanting inwardly. Here we go. I just pulled this up random. Yeah? A chant I know used to bringing safety, but it kept on. I felt it turn me feet overhead and roll me over so my face was facing my bed. I was hovering over my bed, and this was all done against my will. I did all I could to resist. Suddenly, I felt awake again. I didn't know how long I had been asleep. I awoke this morning at 7:30, absolutely exhausted. Can you explain what happened to me? I feel like something was planted into my left ear as today I was experiencing a ringing several times and a weird sensation in my head before this ringing. Is there anything I can do to help myself if this happens again? I've tried over 20 times and many different ways to reach you, but my emails don't get to you from... Not your fault, I think I'm being kept from reaching. Last time I asked the question, my internet stopped for several months, then came back suddenly. I wish you might consider doing a weekly show. There are so many questions to cover, and it would be nice to have more of your wisdom. Thank you for answering this question. Blessings, DL. Okay, so you get...
Finally you actually got the question through, so you may not have been able to get an email through to me, but at least you got a question through. Just keep trying. One email one day will get through to me. Right, this is all about opening your kundalini. What's happening here is that you are being physically maneuvered into a position to open your kundalini so that your psychic abilities, which you obviously have, otherwise they wouldn't be doing this, are accessed. The bending of the knees, the raising of the legs, that is how you activate the kundalini. Now you'd be very interested whether you have bruising on your body and you don't actually remember how you did it. So, you know, did you walk into a table? Did you drop something? Did you walk into a chair? And if you're sure that you didn't, yet you have bruising, then that's quite strong evidence. How do you prevent that? When I'm not necessarily sure that we're dealing with aliens, I'm more inclined to think that we're dealing with corporations or we're dealing with secret military operational units. Be interesting to know whether your mother or your father had psychic ability. It generally runs through one parent and through. What sort of jobs any of your members of the family do. Often you will experience as if you've climbed up Mount Everest. The next morning you'll feel really tired. Sometimes your legs will be shaky, but you feel really tired, like you had a really heavy night, but you didn't have any fun. And that is because your energy has been drained. You've been probably used for remote viewing or targeting certain individuals on a psychic level. Doesn't mean you've hurt them. You've just tracked them or followed them psychically. That, on the small amount of evidence you've given me, sounds exactly what's going on. And if you can get an email through to me, then we will have a session. We'll have a Skype. And obviously I can learn more and give you more detail. But for the listeners, sadly, what you've described to me is incredibly common, far more common than anybody would give credit for. There is a huge operation that's been undergoing for about 25 years on this planet, certainly in the States, Great Britain, and to a lesser extent, some of the European countries, and to identify ordinary people who have great gifts and then come after them. So, you know, if this is happening to you, it's because you're special. And I'm using the word deliberate, special in the sense that you have a psychic gift. Now, all humans have a psychic gift, but only a small proportion of people have activated their gifts. And you might say, well, I'm not at all psychic. Well, no, not in the 3D world, you're not. But when your kundalini is activated, you are working through the fourth dimension. And I hope that helps. Keep sending the emails. We can hook up and I will talk to you more. Thank you.
Simon, it's a real shame that they haven't cloned you. Because you could have one doing emails, you could have one doing websites, you can do, you know, one doing personal consultants. I'm just kidding, but
I know, but that's a good point, and I will ask to answer that because I suppose a great radio show is where we can just go anywhere with it, and
it's your show. You can do whatever you like with this. You can take people on a meditation.
I could do. But they have cloned me. There are clones of me. They're not in operation, and I've been told that if somebody or something removes me from the planet, then they would bring the clone out to carry on the work. Now, I went public with when I died, literally died, must have done because my spine was broken. Oh, and a very nice funder has asked me to find out how much it would cost to get an X-ray of my spine done. And they, if it's not too expensive, they'll pay for that. Because then we've got evidence. This is the story where I remember literally falling off a wall, for want of a better word, and then not really realizing how come I managed to get back in bed. I didn't remember how I got from being out by the wall back to my bed. Many, many, many years later, when I was in a very small car crash, I went in and I had my back x-rayed, and the doctor said, we look at the damage of your spine. How did you do that? And I remember saying, what damage to my spine? And the trauma doctor saying, your spine, when did you do that? And of course, I said, I've got no clue. And she said, you've never been to hospital. And it transpired that my spine was completely snapped in half, broken, rehealed, a very old wound. And the doctor was sort of really panicking because she didn't know what on earth to make of this. So, and I know that I fell off a wall, and I know that I had alien experience, excuse me, I had an alien, and literally they put me back together again. And so anyway, just as an aside, she's offering to pay for an x-ray, and then we can have that as evidence. Here we are, Simon Parks, and any doctor in the world will look at it and say, yep, that spine was broken, you should have been in hospital for 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever it is. And of course I'm none of that. And the reason I'm saying that is that rather than bring out a clone, the mantids decided to repair the spine and put me back, because they understand that when you clone and you bring a clone out, you lose something. Like everyone else here, my body was part of Source. It was created by the great creator, and my soul lives in that, and it chose to be in that, and that's who I am. That's me. You go into a clone, it's not really the same connection. It's not really you. It's for all intents and purposes, it looks like you, but it's not really you. And thank God the mantises understood that, because they could have said, look, his body's completely useless. We can't afford for him to be off. We'll put him in a clone body. They didn't. But I have been told there are clones of me ready to run should I be irrevocably destroyed, and that they can't do that. So this is the real me, no clones, my real body. So I thought I'd just throw that
in. That's a fascinating thing, because the real Simon Parks has a signature that is unique, that has that break in the spine. What vertebra is it,
Fairly low down. I mean, if I run my hand down my spine, I feel a lump.
So you can feel it. Yeah, so there you go. So
It's fused. The two bones are fused.
Right. That's very interesting. This is very, very interesting, Simon.
But if I can get this, they'll get this x-ray done, when this funder is prepared, because they won't do it on the NHS, they'd have to be private, I'd have to go to a private doctor. But this person's saying, as long as it's not too expensive, we'll pay for it. And then I can, when I do my conferences, I can actually say, there you go, look at that. And that hopefully, there usually is a medical professional, a nurse or a doctor or someone in the audience, and then I'll say, look, are you prepared to say, looking at that x-ray, how long would I have been in hospital? And, it would be very interesting to have a medical profession say, well, look, we would have been out of action for X, Y, and Z. And yet, you see, when this trauma doctor came back from the computer, she said, we've got no record of you being in hospital for a broken back. She said, the spine. And she said, even though it was a long time ago, all the records were copied onto computer. They were actually put onto what they call microfiche in the 70s. And then from that into digital, and she said, there's absolutely no record of you, having any treatment and in hospital. We've got no record. She said, that's why I've come back to ask you. And I said to her, well, I've got no knowledge of any of that at all. I can't help you. In which case she became absolutely confused and wanted to get the heck out of that room as fast as possible, poor love. So there we go. And that's more evidence. And, that's what we want. We want evidence. I want to be able to say to people, there you go, look. boom.
So do you, do you think, Simon, or do you have an inkling that, at that point you were taken aboard a ship, repaired, and then put back into bed nice and gently?
The memory I have is quite astounding.
All right. So you do have a memory with it?
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. But it's not, it's not a full memory. I have a memory of, can I just use the word waking up and seeing, what I call my doctors. These are mantids who have attended my body, over the years and working over me. And then telepathically, I say to them, what happened? And they reply, you died. But don't worry, we are sending you back. That's exactly the conversation. And then the next thing I remember, and this happened in the garden, in the yard, the next thing I remember, I'm standing by the side of my bed, and I think to myself, I don't feel very well. And I just climb back into the bed now, and my best pal, the guy who I was best friends with at the time, was with me, had been running through the house shouting for help, because he said to me afterwards, I thought you were dead because I couldn't wake you. I was shaking you, chill calling you. You didn't move. I knew you were dead. And he was panicking, running. And so when he ran back through what was my bedroom and he saw me in bed, he actually did one of those soap tape double takes. He actually was running. He stopped dead, and it's comical now. And his head moved twice. He did a double take. It was like, how the heck did you get from there to in bed? And then, then my mum came home, mother came home from work half an hour later, and we had tea together, and it was absolutely fine. And that's the memory, and that's what happened. And I'm just so grateful they didn't stick me into a plastic body and say, there you go, have another body. They said, look, we'll patch this one up. And if anybody runs their hand down my spine, they will feel that lump. So let's get this x-ray, and I'm really grateful. Anyway, let's get on with another question.
Yeah, well, I just want to keep on with that because I've had a back injury in that same place. I had a bike crash 31 years ago now, and my lower spine was fused like that. It's really interesting. So here's some more things that connect both of us. Yeah. All right. This is from... Captain, 1953. The cosmic genealogy of Jews, Aryans, Asians. Right, please, Simon, help us understand the cosmic genealogy of the races on the planet now. What is the difference between the Jewish people and the Aryan people from an Anunnaki point of view? Do they both come from the Anunnaki? Why do both believe they are chosen of God and dislike and distrust the other race so much? Some people believe that the Jewish people in Israel are not real Jews, they are Khazars, and the black people are really the Jewish race. What do you think of this? Also, who created the Asian race? Is there a difference between the dragons of China?
Too many questions.
Too many questions. All right, so let's just go back. Let's start with, what's the difference between the Jewish people and the Aryan people from an Anunnaki point of view? How's about that?
Right. The Jewish people are a bloodline all of their own. And they were a chosen race, and I'm going to use that word, simply because Enlil presented himself as the God of the Jews, and he created a system that would keep them, as he saw it, pure, so that they wouldn't interbreed outside of their own people. And he gave them rules and laws to ensure that they worshipped him, and that they had sacrifice, and that they followed a reptilian culture. So that is totally different from Anunnaki, right? The main body of the Jews, that's a separate line from the Anunnaki. But the people who were running the Jewish race did come from the Anunnaki. That should be understood. The Kazakhstanian Jews and the Holy Land Jews do have a difference of opinion. They have different values and a different way of expressing their culture or religion. One of the major reasons for part of American operations under the old government regime of Obama to start a war in the Ukraine was to try to give the Kazakhstanian Jews control over part of the Ukraine. Kazakhstanian Jews claim part of Russia a part of the Ukraine as their true homeland. And this was the real reason to try and break this part away from Russia. The Ukrainians have always been different from Russia when the Second World War occurred and the German troops went in. Many of the Ukraine supported them until the SS went in and started murdering women and children. Then, of course, they turned against them. But in that interim period, many people in the Ukraine welcomed the arrival of the Germans because they believed it would remove them from Stalin and Russia. But the Kazakhstanian Jews believe they have a right to this part of the world, and they have a completely different control set to the Jewish people of the Holy Land. So the questioner is right. Obviously he or she understands that those people see themselves quite differently. And one group is a more of a magical, the Kazakhstanian Jews have a more fundamental connection, shall we say, to the roots than the general Jewish group. So, the only reason I stopped you is because then the next question was about Asian people. And, you know, this is such a big question just to talk about the Jewish race that, you know, I just can't. Sweep that away and go on to that one. That's fundamental to mm-hmm. the control. Most of the, you see there's a line between the Mergovinians, who are very prevalent in Italy, and the Kazakhstanian Jews. Most of these are bankers. Most of these are, own huge amounts of wealth and land. And between them, they probably command maybe half of the planet.
So these are the factions.
Yes.
Underneath. Yes. You've got this, are you saying the Merovingians, that includes like the Cathars and all that tradition,
yes.
and the Knights
yes.
Templars and all that. And then you've yes. got the, so, could you give us like, a kind of brief, the listing of the hierarchy, like this goes into that and these, and that. So for instance,
if we're
looking at the Merovingians and looking at the Khazarians on one side and the other.
Right. Well, what happens is that you join a club. Literally, when you're invited to join a club, either through your bloodline or your religion or your wealth or your father. But what happens is that the people who are really, really at the very top, they keep a balance. If you put all of the top-notch, powerful people into Group A, then Group A would become top-heavy and there would be no control element from Group B. So what they'll do is, they'll try and put people in so that no one group becomes obviously more powerful than the other, because then it will challenge them. Now, clearly, families will go in. So you could trace your grandfather, great-grandfather, et cetera, et cetera, and they will all have gone into the same line. It's a bit like Yale or Harvard. You know, if you were you're a Harvard man, presumably your father and grandfather also went to Harvard. And so it's exactly the same tribalism. However, the people who are really in control will not wish to allow too much power into one group. It's not so much about the groups, it's about the individuals. You could have, let's just say, groups A to Z, and Z is the lowest and A is the highest. But you might put somebody incredibly powerful into Z. So that person then takes the Z group right up to the very top, and then they have a reign of power for 5 or 10 years. Then they're replaced by Group G or Group L. And that way you divide and conquer. However, ruling families will always be ruling families, and they will be elite. And in the days of the Mafia, that's exactly what we had in a 3D sense. We had ruling families in the Mafia, whether that be in Chicago or whether it be in Italy, in Rome, who would fight. And, you know, for a few years, one group would be in ascendance and then another group would be. But if you look back to the Renaissance period in Italy, Florence, et cetera, et cetera, that is the birthplace of I call it the new money. That is the birthplace of a lot of these power struggles that are occurring today. And the Vatican is central as a mover and shaker with all these groups. Okay.
So the Vatican controls both sides? is like the Vatican, the council, they're on a council and they have representatives, that sort of thing?
The Vatican doesn't control them, but what the Vatican does is it influences them, and gives them leeway, but will get involved if a situation is becoming out of control. The Vatican, leaves these families, by and large to run their own show, but there are certain things that impact on the decision. They have all parameters over to what decisions they can make, which is their remit and which is not. And the Vatican will often step in to say you're overstepping your mark, or, you know, you should be doing more here. But the Vatican doesn't often come down and call people in. They'd actually, what they do is they call people into an audience, and then they are sort of told, you've gone too far, we don't like what you're doing, you need to stop this now. But that doesn't happen very much.
Okay, so now, so I'm just trying to count the cards. So why do both believe they're both chosen of God and dislike the other race too much? So have you covered that? They're kind of rival factions, really, aren't they?
Well, you see, the thing is that you go right back to Enki and Enlil. And, you know, which of the two, I use the word loosely, of course, which of the two gods was prevalent with which particular group? Because both brothers went out, and then, you know, Enki had children. And they've gone out to create their own empires. You know, they couldn't get off the planet, so they would build empires here. And they would hedge their bets, really. They would look to see which group might be powerful or which group they were allowed to work with. You know, it's literally power play. That's all it is. It's just manipulation of people. It's nothing special here. It's just the same old game wrapped up in different Christmas paper.
Will it ever stop? I mean, are we going to be able to, like, say, okay, guys, can you find another planet and go and leave us alone and stop manipulating and let us grow because we're quite interesting?
It will,
in that sort of way.
No, I hear you. It will stop. But it will only stop when a sizable proportion of humanity refuses to be pushed around as slaves anymore. As long as the large proportion of people accept the status quo, and don't believe they're any better than get up on a Monday morning, go and work myself nearly to death. And then if I'm lucky, I'll get one foreign holiday a year and I might be able to put some money away for this, that and the other. And they accept that as their lot, and they go on year after year after year, and they just sit and watch television and, you know, or believe everything they read in the newspapers. No, we're not going to evolve, are we? But if a proportion of people actually say I'm sick of it, I see through this subterfuge, and I'm going to show my displeasure, then we will change. And that is happening. You know, we've talked about this, the Schumann resonance, the frequency of the Earth went up from 6.34. It's nearly something approaching the 30s now. Now, that means that lots and lots of people are beyond the control of the mind lies. You know, the days are gone when sizable portions of people would swallow the childish lies that the elite could put out. Now they've got to be really, really clever lies. They've got to be hugely deceptive. They've really have to work hard to even convince just 10% of the public. So they've lost control of a huge portion of people. So that's why the chemtrails are coming on. That's why they're going to fall back to the old fear routine. You know, if we can't manipulate people, if we can't steer them down the road we want to steer them down, well, you know what? We'll try and poison them, or we'll dumb them down, or we'll put so much fear onto them that they will be very open to what we want. And that's the route that these stupid, silly elite people have chosen. And it's self-defeating. Because these people had the chance to break free themselves and to show everyone else that they too were human. But what it seems on the evidence that I'm getting is that they've just gone for the same old routine, which is, okay, we'll just tighten the screw a bit more. And what will happen is the public will rise to that challenge. the days are gone when people would just be kicked about and yes sir, no sir, three bags full sir. That's not, those days are not here anymore. People want the truth. People are asking questions. People are becoming tired of the lies. And more people, yes, there's loads of people who are still asleep, but the sizable minority now mean that the elite are using more obvious methods, which will wake up more people. So it's a hiding to nothing, as we say in Great Britain. So I'm actually positive about the future, but I'm very sad that these people who could have made an example of goodness have decided to fall back on their old routines. And, you know, they will suffer the price of this. No doubt about it.
So, still on this question, because it's like there's a multipolar question, but a lot of them are answers that everybody wants to know. The Jewish people and the Aryan people.
All right. Yes, you did ask that.
What is the difference? If right. I mean, are we talking like are they really like two colonies that landed on this planet and have rivalry over the land ever since? I mean, is it like that old?
What we're looking at here is one group that is seen as the traditional line, the ruling line, which is the Aryan line, which is a line of aliens who set up an empire, which is fairly strongly connected to Orion in many ways, has connections to the Orion Empire. And also has connections to the Aldebaran group. And
pesky Aldebarans again.
Yes. And this is the group that Adolf Hitler, of course, not just through channeling, not just through the Vril Society and others, but his own personal experience. That's not really widely discussed, but Adolf Hitler personally saw reptilians. You know, we don't seem to talk about that. He personally saw them. He also had a demonic possession from touching the spear of destiny. That's why Hitler invaded Austria, because he wanted the spear wasn't in the Austrian. So many people say that the spear was in the Austrian museum. No, it wasn't. It was actually in the main church, the main cathedral, hanging from the ceiling. And Hitler had seen that, and he knew that he wanted that spear. But it was possessed, it had its own entity that possessed that spear. But when he went into Austria, one of the first snatch squads of the SS was to go and get the Spear of Destiny for Adolf Hitler. And he was connected to the Orion Empire, the Orion aliens. He was connected to the Aldebaran group. He had demonic possession in him. And he wanted to emulate the Aryan race, which he saw as purity, because he saw that as the pure line that went back. And these are quite white or light-skinned beings. So that was that. And the Jewish race was seen as the total opposite of that, was seen as the evil race, simply because the Jewish race and the Aryan race could conceivably vie for authority or vie for power in terms of running some part of the planet. And indeed, many Jewish people are bankers. Many Jewish people are successful in banking, not least because so many laws were passed in Europe preventing Jews from running businesses. This is not understood, but there was no law preventing them from lending money. That's why Jewish people went into lending money, because they weren't allowed. There was a law in many countries saying that Jews couldn't run a business. Ridiculous. So that's why they lent money, because they were allowed to do that. So then, of course, they got the bad press as the Jews who lent money. But in terms of the energy, either the Jewish race or the Aryan race could have been considered as successors, although the Jewish race was not directly linked with the Aryan race was. It's a fascinating subject.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hang on. I haven't finished yet. All right. Because there is unclarity and I can feel it in the air. So I want to really narrow it down. Okay. So, the Aryans. Okay. Now, I listen to the phonetics of it as well, right? And so there's the Aryans that come from Aldebaran. Or Aldebaran, or however you pronounce it. But there are they are tall and blonde, yeah?
Yes, and not to be confused with Nordics.
Nordics, right, okay.
Not to be confused with Nordics, they're separate.
All right, so, okay, so there's Aldebarans from Aldebaran, and they're tall blondes with very pale skin. But
right,
Jewish people are dark-skinned usually and dark-haired, aren't they?
Right, the Aldebarans are, if you were to look at an Aldebaran, you would be struggled to work out whether you were looking at a male or female. If you look at the face of an Aldebaran, it will contain both masculine and feminine features. Many of them don't have a sex either way. That's an important thing to understand. Their skin is very white. It's a sickly white. It's not the same white as a Nordic. They do have blonde hair. It's very thin and wispy. They have not pointed faces. Their faces are very hard to describe. They're not square. They are thin, but they aren't, they're not like an elf. They're not like that at all. And they tend to dress in, tight-fitting uniforms, and they will usually have the sign of the serpent or the flash, which is where Hitler got his SS rune flash partly from. Also because portal technology requires two flashes when you're transporting down onto the planet Earth. And so he took the two SS flashes for his SS bodyguard uniform because that represents the arrival through a portal. But yes, Aldebarans, neither male nor female, height not tall. Nordics usually between 6 foot and 6 foot five. Aldebarans between 5 foot seven and 5 foot 9.
All right. Okay. So those are Aldebarans and Nordics, right? And but then we also have. Well, where do the Jews come from? Where does the Jewish race? And are they a creation of Enlil? And is that why they're chosen? What's the deal? Because they're dark. You know, actually, there's several kinds of Jew, aren't there? There's like the Sephardics and the Ashkenazis. Are all the Ashkenazis Khazarians, or yes, are there some correct. Real Jews in the Ashkenazi group?
Well, hang on, what's a real Jew?
Well, yeah.
What's a real Jew? Look, there are 12 tribes of Israel, exactly. And that should tell you everything you need to know. When somebody brings, the jolly old figures, 3, 6, 9, 12, there we go. That is a construct. Anything with the figure 3, 6, 9, 12, 6 and 12 are the numbers of the reptilian stroke Orion, stroke control system. If you take a group of people who are indigenous to the planet and you say to those people, you are special, you must form yourself into tribes and you mustn't take wives or husbands outside of your own tribe because we want to keep it pure. And if you sacrifice lambs to me and you kill this and you kill that and you burn offerings, and, you know, then I will protect you. I do believe in the parting of the Red Sea. I absolutely do believe that because alien technology could do that. You know, we tend to forget that Moses was a pharaoh or the son of the pharaoh. This is where the line is coming from. You know, this is where the Jewish line comes from. You're asking, you know, and I'm taking you back now, what where Jews come from. Moses was to a Jew. Many of these people were Egyptian. They were family members who could have become full-fledged pharaohs and fell out for whatever reason. So if you look back, the leaders of the Egyptian race were Anunnaki. But doesn't mean all of their underlings, all of their subjects were off a spaceship. Many of them, the vast majority of them, were ordinary indigenous native peoples who were brought together under superior intellect in terms of command and control, and given rules and regulations to fashion them into a self-contained unit. And then if you infuse a people with a belief in themselves and you make them believe they're better than anything else, and then you give them protection. So the Jews did have protection. They were a chosen race, chosen in the sense that the reptilian god said, you keep sacrificing for me and I will make sure you don't lose any battles. But if you stop sacrificing to me, I will take away my support. You know, it's no different. Up to 1942, Adolf Hitler won every battle, nearly. I mean, the Battle of Britain, he didn't win, but he didn't lose that, did he? It was a draw. But he won every battle as long as he was buying oil off the bushes, Standard Oil. And what Hitler said in 1942 was, I'm fed up with this. I'm going to go and invade this part of Russia, which is just past Stalingrad, and I'm going to go and get all the richest oil fields in Russia, and I don't need to buy off the bushes anymore. And as soon as he did that, what happened was all the off-planet assistance he'd been giving just disappeared. It went. And then from winning nearly every battle, he lost every battle. And this is what happens, that those people who sign up to something, if they don't follow through on the deal, that special protection is taken away. You think about the wars that the Jews have fought, you know, the Six-Day War, 1967, then the Yom Kippur War in 1974. The Israelis won battle after battle after battle, because specifically through Mossad, they have, even to this day, a connection with a particular off-planet entity, which isn't very nice. It's not nice, but it's the same planet entity that used to communicate with Hitler. Now, how crazy is that? A Jewish state with a connection to an off-planet entity, which was the same entity that was working with Hitler. These off-planet entities will work with any nation that it thinks it can control. You know, human race needs to turn round, frankly, to all of this lot and say, look, we don't mind you giving us advice. Hell, you've been on this planet and in this universe a lot longer than we have, so we'll take advice from you, but don't try and manipulate us. Don't try and control us. We will make our own destiny. And when the human race turns around, and you said this a bit earlier, JP, sort of thing, when we as a people, as a planet, turn around and say, we'd be very welcome your advice, but we will decide what we do, then we really take control of who we are. But at the moment, we've got all the different countries all fighting each other, and that's how it's divide and conquer. Shall we move on?
Fabulous. Thank you, Simon. I hope that's, you know, ties it up for everybody. Let's have a look. Now, okay. Now, a lot of people are typing enormously long questions, but what you got to understand is that, it's better to make a really focused question. And indeed, you know, somebody put his really good one, because they put it in the topic, and, so rather than read all the things, can you get a jinn? This is from David. Can you get a jinn or attachment through the internet? Oh, hang on. Am I right there? Sorry. Can you get a jinn or an attachment through connection with people through the internet?
That's a really, really interesting question.
Isn't it?
No, but you can get a demonic entity through some of the games that are being put out now. And there are some children's games which are on the market, which I believe have a portal to them and allow some activation like that. So in the pure sense of the word, a jinn, no. Jinns mostly attack people through Ouija boards. Ouija board is a portal. The concept of the Ouija board never came from humanity. That was given to them. Humans constructed it. And the best way I describe it is, you walk down the street, there's a sidewalk, and you see a lovely window, shop window, and in it some beautiful cakes. Oh, I like those cakes. So you open the door and you go in. The Ouija board is the shop window. And when you touch the Ouija board, or you come within close proximity of it, or you activate it, then they consider you've opened the door, and they believe they have a contract with you, that you've gone into the shop. And now, in Britain, we have, in London, we have black cabs. In America, you have yellow cabs. And they all have a taxi stand or a taxi rank, and they all queue up. And the same way, the jinn just queue up. And when somebody activates a Ouija board, the first one in the queue just comes straight through, and it will attach to the most psychic person around that Ouija board, usually the person that's activated it, but not exclusively so. And the most possessions that I have to remove off people are demonic possessions or jinn possessions, because they have used a Ouija board. Sometimes these things stay in you for 20 or 30 years before they activate. They are chameleons, and they mimic your energy, and you don't detect them. And then they activate, and then they start making your life an absolute misery. So, no, not a djinn, but yes, some of these programs, specifically in the last 18 months that are coming out, could potentially carry demonic energy. Good question, thank you.
Very interesting and very relevant indeed to people. And so what about, you know, getting rid of demons and djinns across the internet using Skype and things like that? Is that using a different connection? Because you're connecting personally, aren't you?
They can't use through Skype. What you're more likely to get an attack is archonic attack. Through internet connection, it is archonic, which is artificial intelligence. This is where the attack comes through. Because they're artificial intelligence, they use digital technology. That's why we have digital technology on the planet, not to make our lives easier, but to allow certain things to move around the planet and spy on us. So you don't get demons through Skype, but you get archonic attack through Skype. You get archonic attack through anything electronic. But demons will tend to require I'm going to really try to think how I'm going to put this into human language. They need a house. They need a home. They need a base. They need like the genie needs a lamp to live in. So if you create an app for a phone or you create, something, I'm not saying Pokemon, but that's a game that I'm familiar with in the 80s. But if you had something that had monsters drawn on it or evil creatures and it was part of our game, well, that could house the energy of that creature because it's actually giving shape and form to something that we would talk about as a monster. So that type of evil energy can find a home even temporarily in that, and that can then be sent down the internet. So it's residing, just like I talked about the Spear of Destiny had a demonic possession. This was the spear that Centurion Longinus was said to have speared Jesus with. So it had this history, therefore the demon could attach to the spear because of this history. Well, if you create something, then demonic possession can attach to it, and then that can travel and be sent. So it's a difficult game for someone like me because I have enough time clearing your traditional demonic stuff, and then with the advent of digital technology, then you know these things can pop up really quite and almost anywhere really. So it's quite a challenge really.
Yeah,
but yeah,
excellent. But there's a particular game. It's called World of Warcraft, and what I found interesting as you were talking about this, a guy I used to know, playing a band together a long time ago, told me once he sold his soul to the devil when he was younger. Now, I don't know whether he was joking or what or not, but he is completely addicted to this game called World of Warcraft. And even him and his wife, they sit there every evening playing World of Warcraft on their computers next to each other.
Right.
That's their deal, you know, generating these negative energies.
Well, I would say that's not particularly healthy. It's nice to go out for a little walk and hear the birds sing or, you know, watch the sun setting. That, I think, would do them power of good. And it's not good for your health to sit in front of a screen without going out and having some exercise. I'm not going to talk specifically about this because I haven't got enough knowledge about these programs. There is a program that was very, very popular last year that you would, you know, go out with your mobile phone, your cell phone, and you would point it at things and it would say whether there was a being or a creature there, you know, one of these, you collect them. That's the sort of thing that concerns me. So I can't say a specific program because I think anything that contains what I've described could potentially hold something unpleasant. And, you know, look, we live in a modern world and we use computers and we use phones, but we do need to balance our lives and we need to get out more. Something wants us to sit with our faces glued to a screen and reduce the humanity in us. And I'm absolutely determined to say to people that you need to balance your life by celebrating your humanity. Go out and connect with nature. You know, we can do this. Go out and see the trees and the rivers and the sea, and just remember what it's like, what real organic life is. You know, yes, these super high-definition screens can produce a real good copy of whatever environment you might be looking at, but it's a copy, for goodness sake. It's a copy. Why would we want a copy when we can go out and see the real thing? Are we so lazy that we can't even go out and walk? And I'm to blame often. There's a lovely little park that was pointed, a very, very special friend of mine said, you know, you need to go out every day and go to the park and just have 10 minutes. And this person is absolutely right. But we all have incredibly busy lives, but it's how much do we want to do this? If you really want to do something, in most cases you can. And I just say to people, celebrate the fact that you are connected to Source. You're a real living human person. Do not be drawn into the electronic world. And that's my fear. It's not the reptilians. It is Archons. It is the artificial intelligence that wishes to subsume all blood and flesh and bone and replace it with a robot. That is the real enemy that we face. And I'll just finish off by saying this planet has been earmarked as a fire break. And anyone who's been a fireman or a firewoman knows what I mean. If you have a forest fire, you have to bulldoze down part of it to create a barren land that the flames can't get across. In Britain, London, the Great Fire of London, 1666, the only way they stopped the Fire of London was by dynamiting houses to create a gap so the fire couldn't jump from one house to another. And this planet is earmarked as a firebreak to prevent artificial intelligence spreading right across the dimensions. Now, that is really important, because if we do not defeat AI here on this planet, it's a bad deal. So we've got to do that, because they are pushing AI, whether it's the transhuman agenda, whether it's all these stupid videos on YouTube about robots walking through a forest or, you know, walking this trend, saying, you know, if you break your arm, you know, we can do this. And we've talked before, JP, about the film in the 1970s with Steve Austin, the $6 million man. They were already pushing transhuman agenda back in the mid-1970s. You know, a robotic arm, robotic leg, doesn't it make you better? No, it doesn't. Yes, if you have a genuine accident, motorbike, car crash, then fantastic. But not let's replace the human body with a robot, because that is a concept that's been dreamt up off this planet. And I just want people to remember, as useful as a computer is or as a cell phone is, it's not your life. Your life is the wind in your face, the sun, the fact that there are animals that you can talk to and stroke and play with, that children can go out and play and run in a field, that you can plant crops in the ground and see them grow. That is what being human is, and learning and experiencing, to reach out and touch somebody you love. Robots can't do that. That's what they want to do. They want to replace the human race with robots. So I'm absolutely passionate that, yes, some reptilians are not very good, but that's not our major enemy. So there we go. I've gone on a bit. When is our tea break, by the way, JP?
Well, you know, we started late, so let's just have a look. Oh, right. Good timing. You've got a good sense of the time. Yeah.
Sometimes I
have. You know the hour. You know, it's like, oh, good. So let's put on the tune and go and put the kettle on, shall we?
Shall we do?
How? Oh, I was going to put on Pink Floyd's The Embryo, which is 10 minutes long. That's too long. How about... that's too depressing. That's depressing. You know, a lot of music is really quite depressing, but everybody loves it.
No.
But how about... Oh, yeah. This is my band with the fabulous Stu Evans on vocals. Singing A Piece of My Heart by Janis Joplin. So it's a guy singing a Janis Joplin song. So turn your speakers down if you're that sensitive kind of person. wanting. Anyway, that was my band a couple of years ago in, I think, 2012, doing A Piece of My Heart. And, yeah, it's just, it's my birthday, so, well, it was my birthday yesterday,
I
so.
It was your birthday.
Yeah. I'm 56, which is, are you 61? Are you born in 61?
No, I was born in 1959.
59, right, okay, so.
I'm still in my 50s.
Uh-huh. 2 years older. So, oh, 2.5, because you're September, aren't you? September something.
I am indeed.
There we go. So,
I'm just a spring chicken, really.
I've heard. Do you want to do your, sorry, these things just pop out. would you like to do your donation thingy?
I will do. Are we actually on live now?
We're back live, yeah.
Well, that's good. I didn't know we were. Oh. I thought you were still making tea.
No. That's welcome back.
Good. Okay. Yeah, I wanted to thank people for sending their donations, and I, as ever, I just literally pull them out randomly. In the hope that, you know, everybody at some point will get a name on. I should be very organized, but I don't have that time, I'm afraid. So I just do what I can to get the names up. And I'm always very grateful to people. You know, it keeps me going. So, thanks to Ravi, to Ida, to Christina and Sherilyn and, Jekaterina, I hope I pronounced your name properly there, to Charlotte, and Flora, and Nadia, Theodore, Vincent, Catherine, Dolly, and Robert. Smaller than normal, but some people have been incredibly generous, and I'd say to you that there's a person who wanted to pay for, an x-ray. You know, this is what helps, it what keeps us going. So, and also thank you to people who have just given their thanks. People who've said, you know, Simon, you changed my life. Or, you know, thank you for what you're doing. And it's so lovely because, you know, you do what you do and I don't think about it. I just do what I have to do. And then when someone stops me and I was in my town, Whitby, only a weekend ago or so. And I was in the health food shop, and there's a guy there who I did a consultation with maybe 2 years ago who recognized me straight away. And I didn't recognize him until he turned properly around to look at me, but maybe he just recognized my voice. The person I was with, is a very special person I was with, and this person said to me afterwards, well, thank goodness that he met you in a health food shop and you were buying toothpaste without fluoride, because if you'd been in the butchers buying a great side of beef, it would look terrible. So we had a good old laugh about that. And it's just nice that, you know, I do go out and do what I say I do. And I do meet people who I've had consultations with. And, you know, to have had an impact on their lives, to have helped them or to have brought change or to have got them to do their own research is why I do this. It's literally about empowering people. So when people give me a donation, it's them recognizing that they are putting something back. They can't come round and have tea with me, but they can offer help in a way. And so, you know, thank you to those people, because without their support, all of us, whether it's you, JP, or me, or anyone else, you know, we couldn't do what we could do. And if we didn't do what we did, there would be no up-to-date information coming through to people. There wouldn't be the drive to bring change. So we all support each other. So thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And what else was there? Yes. Thank you to everybody for donating to my personal thing and also Wolf Spirit Radio thing. What I'd also like is some volunteers, particularly those with computer skills and or at least website skills, you know, social media and things like that. It'd be nice to create a network that takes the stress off of all these individual points. They seem to be sort of the bottleneck points. Anyhow, let's have a look here. Oh, here's a good one. This is from IWP. Anyway, This question is about fairy tales. I have an old book of Grimm's fairy tales that I was reading the other day, and it suddenly came to me. As I was reading about a boy being killed by his stepmother and made into stew and fed to his father, that these stories sound very much like the kind of tales told to satanic Illuminati children to scare them. Could it be that these stories are of things that did happen to children and parents of these occult societies and are now told as fables and fairy tales? The real Grimm stories are nothing like the Disney versions we see out of Hollywood. What say you, Cy-Man, about the Brothers Grimm?
Cy-Man? That's an interesting...
Oh, you heard some syllables there, yeah, Cy-Man.
I always listen for all intonations.
Well, that came out of me. I don't know where that
means. I know. I'm always on my guard joking. No, it's fine. Right, what's interesting, because I was with someone only the other day, and we were talking about Hans Christian Andersen and Grimm's fairy tales, and so it's synchronistic here. And some fairy tales were written by good people to warn other good people to be aware and look out. Other were written by good people to give a direction, a spiritual direction. This is morally wrong, this is right, you should do this. But another group were written by those who were practicing in satanic cults, who were merely putting their own culture into a story form. And I'll just give an example that should be known by the Western world, which is Little Red Riding Hood. And this is one of the ones that we were discussing only a few days ago. So Little Red Riding Hood was a satanic version, or at least the elements are placed in there. And anything where someone is chopped up into pieces and gobbled up or eaten, I'm not saying, as the questioner is proposing, that this happened to their family, therefore they made a story. But what I am proposing is that this was the cult or the culture of sacrifice. And we don't have to go too far, do we? We can find that in Aztec cultures, Sumerian cultures. It is the reptilian command and control, and indeed the Jewish culture. So in these fairy tales, you are being bombarded, or children were being bombarded, less so now, with elements that were trying to cut them on the straight and narrow and warn them, and then other elements that were very dubious and were traumatizing children, trying to normalize it. I mean, I've got, we talk about Alice in Wonderland, I've got a very rare copy of the original manuscript. Was presented to me, the original manuscript from Alice in Wonderland, but it wasn't called Alice in Wonderland. It's called something like Alice's Adventures Underground. That's originally how it was written, and I think my copy version is 1866. And in it, the copies that we're all familiar with is a guy called John Tenniel. He was a gifted illustrator, and he was brought in to draw Alice in Wonderland and the Cheshire Cat, and he drew them really well, and his drawings are iconic. But this version, this copy I've got, is Lewis Carroll, obviously wasn't his real name, but that's the name he went with, Lewis Carroll's own drawings. That's what makes this copy really special, that he was an awful illustrator, that's why they got someone in, but he drew them, and I have got his drawings. And they are, some of them are inappropriate. And in fact, in the copy I've got, the foreword, can't hide it. And the foreword says something along the lines of, I'm making a joke of it, as they always do, ha ha ha, Freudian scholars would like to make much of drawings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in this book. However, it is our opinion that this is just chance. And what we've got is a particular drawing of two courtiers fondling each other. Now, that may not seem much in 2017, where nearly anything goes, but we're talking about 1866 and the books for children. And remember that it was not uncommon for Lewis Carroll to take a 12-year-old girl on a boat up a river. And that's documented evidence. I'm not saying anything happened. I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying is I have got a copy of his original book, and I look at those drawings. I don't think it's chance what I'm looking at. So that type of energy of children being abducted, children being sacrificed or eaten or traumatized, runs through the culture of humanity very deeply and has done for a very long time. It's evil and it has to be got rid of, you know? So, yes, good question. Thank you.
Excellent. So, now, this question is, I can't know the name. What is the difference between the Church of Satan, founded by Anton LaVey, and Illuminati Satanists? And where does Aleister Crowley fit into these groups? Is he still aware? You know, in your opinion, what was he trying to do with all his magic? And was he as evil as some people make him out to be?
I'm not quite clear of the question. So the question's asking...
Aleister Crowley, was he a bit connected with the Church of Satan, founded by Anton LaVey? Or was he an Illuminati Satanist? And does he fit into either of these groups, or did he predate them? And what was he trying to do? I mean, basically, he's saying, you know, was he as bad as the world has cracked him up to be? And you know, in my question is, does he fit in with the cabal of today? Where does he fit in with that?
The organization that Aleister Crowley was most associated with is this Order of the Golden Dawn, which he had a hand in altering or founding and being part of. So the Order of the Golden Dawn was the group that he was most associated with. Aleister Crowley was elite. Let's make that clear. Aleister Crowley wrote to MI5 during the Second World War and said that he should be an agent for them. They declined his offer. There is some truth in Aleister Crowley's claim that he taught Sir Winston Churchill to make the V for victory sign. Churchill used to go around making the V sign, which is V for victory. And Aleister Crowley always claimed that was his invention. There is some interesting debate to be had around that. Anybody who practices black magic is doing so because they wish to influence or alter the status quo. Magic per se is not evil. It's the hand that wields the wand, or the hand that moves the energies, and the intent behind that. You know, witches weren't evil, but they were hunted down because they were women with power. It's the intent behind it that matters. You know, you could be a magician who uses his power for good. That's not evil. You're a magician who uses it for bad. That's evil. So when you bring in child sacrifices, satanic rituals, well, that's obviously wrong. That's obviously evil. That's a fourth dimensional energy that's being fed. Aleister Crowley was absolutely a magician, a black magician, and he understood the Illuminati concept and was part of that. But like many people, he became independent, because if you get too big for your boots, the organization, if the organization feels it can't manage you, it will push you out into an offshoot. Think of a big tree, it's got lots of branches. So you've got your control network, which is the core, which is the trunk. And then if you get someone that's getting a bit out of hand, you stick them out on a branch. And so Aleister Crowley was stuck out on a branch, and he created the Crowley Tarot. The Crowley Tarot cards are not evil in themselves, but if you use them with evil energies, then they are incredibly so. I mean, most tarot readers, most, not all of course, but most tarot readers won't admit to the fact that they hold a tarot, a Crowley tarot pack, because it's got such a bad label. But in terms of power, divination and energy, a Crowley tarot will give you some very good, accurate answers. Rider-Waite tarot, which if you look at the Order of the Golden Dawn, the Rider-Waite tarot, the Crowley tarot, they all share a joint family history. So was Crowley as bad as they paint? I don't know what they paint him as. I will tell you that I wouldn't invite, if Mr. Crowley was alive, I wouldn't invite him into my house for a cup of tea. So that's the best way I could answer that.
Okay, I think that more or less nails it there. Good. Right, okay. Okay, Solomon. This is a good, that's a good, interesting. All right, okay. Joy, Song of Love. Okay, who or what, Simon, is Solomon? I have read that Solomon refers to the sun, Sol, and was not even a real person. What is the Song of Solomon in the Bible about? What are the lesser keys of Solomon and the greater keys of Solomon? Are these satanic, Luciferian, or archonic texts? Were these texts meant for magic and the Goetia? Sorry, one more question. How does Solomon fit into the Knights Templar? So essentially, there is this central figure, Solomon, in the same way that we have this central figure, Jesus. Is he like a composite, or was he really a real person? Or was he used?
Well, your question is as, observation, JP, is as interesting and pertinent as the question. Where do you split the Jesus energy from the King Arthur energy? Where do you bring the line between King Solomon and Moses? These energies are intertwined. No one person on the planet can claim to be, you know, Admiral Lord Nelson or Napoleon, but there are energy fragments from those individuals, whether that's Jesus or Solomon, that exists on the planet. And a number of people can connect and pick up these fragments and have that connection. Doesn't mean that person is, you know, Moses or Jacob, but they have a strong drawing to that because they have collected that. So the question is about Solomon. Solomon, through David, could trace a direct line to the Anunnaki. Solomon was a magician. Solomon was trained in what we call the lesser keys and the higher keys, which are the, if you go your tarot card, you have the high arcana, and then you have the lower arcana. You have the cards with naming power and the lesser cards. The Kabbalah is a strong magic which would you associate with the Jewish higher ranking cultures, which allowed through training mystery schools and naturally obtaining the power through the divine right to have that power, allowed Solomon to conjure demons and use those demons as he would. Solomon was not a good person, but Solomon ruled with fairly good judgment. So Solomon actually wasn't a particularly nice person, but his judgments for his people were beneficial. That's a quite hard concept to get around. So the actual wisdom of Solomon, when the story of the two women who claimed the baby, and both women claimed that the child was theirs, and they had no idea or evidence to prove, because the baby looked like both of them. And so Solomon said, well, look, the best thing to do is to get my senior guard captain over here, and he'll cut the baby in half. And you can have that half and you can have that half. And the real mother just went absolutely ballistic. So Solomon said, well, you're the real mother, you have the baby. He used concepts that were not known on the planet. He was like the Sherlock Holmes of those days. He was able to engage with people and understand the truth and to give the people what they needed. And yet, as an individual, he was still wrapped up in his own culture because he, at that time, hadn't evolved. He was participating in rituals and he participated in child sacrifices because he hadn't yet evolved. And that was his time. His time was to lead his people and to make it great, to build the temple, to have the Ark of the Covenant placed in the center of the temple. And the question goes on about the Knights Templars who, through their own esoteric knowledge, came to collect the sacred items that hadn't been looted and were still there. And in fact, there is one item that came from the temple that the Knights Templars retrieved and brought back and is now in hiding in Scotland. There is an item of Solomon's keys which is in hiding in Scotland. And people perhaps don't really fully grasp the role of the Templars and their connection through their own learning, actually. Remember that the Knights Templars and the Freemasons don't see eye to eye. They're very different. We could go on and on and on, but I hope that answers the question somewhat. Thank you.
There are so many questions here that I could expand into several hours, really, if you had the cups of tea and a couple of cucumber sandwiches to fuel you along.
Oh, I like that. That's brilliant. Thank you.
So, here's a question from Julie P. Dear Simon, what do you believe, or what do you know, happens to animals when they die? Are they recycled and moved up the chain to eventually become humans, as the Hindus believe, or is there something else? Do they also need to be able to go back to source?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. Right. My main focus is humans, and my main focus is people and the salvation of people and the advancement of people. So I don't have the same depth of knowledge for animals. Off-planet entities refer to every other creature on the earth other than humans as lower life forms. And that may sound a bit rude, but the human animal is the only animal that can make a decision, not just based on need, generally speaking. So an animal will do what it needs to do to survive, but a human can make a decision which might bring about its own death, but would allow others to survive. Now, there are some animals that do that, but whether that's their unconscious mind or their need to be a parent, I don't know. I am not convinced that a cat, the soul in a cat, could then go and be a soul in a human. I am convinced that a human soul in a dolphin can come out of that and go into a human body. So I think there are some animals on the planet that contain already a human or a higher soul. I don't accept or understand how the soul of a cat could then go into that of a human body. But I could understand, as I've said, a human-type soul going into a whale or a dolphin and then coming back into a human. But just as we have soulmates or twin flames between people on this planet, so we have soul associations whereby an animal and a person form a bond maybe 10,000 years ago. And that animal, in that soul, in that animal, will come and seek out that person. And 20 years ago, it was a dog. 50 years later, it's a cat. 40 years after that, it might be an owl. But it will associate into animals that it can that can contain its soul, and it will try and seek out that same person. And this is the connection between a wizard or a witch and what we would call its familiar. So a witch might have a black cat or a bat. Think of Harry Potter, where they had toads and owls. It is not uncommon for an animal to incarnate back on the planet and find its previous master or mistress time after time after time. How many people have gone into a rescue home and the animal has chosen them? Even if they thought that's cute, that's cute, that's cute, and then that animal just comes up to them straight away because it's recognized them. And I wish more people would actually understand that they have had associations with these animals over thousands of years. And just as we can be very attached to a person, we can be attached to an animal because it is an old friend. You know, it is a companion that we have had in one shape or form for a very long time. And it is the wonder of source, the wonder of creation that allows either a soulmate or an animal to travel hundreds of miles and find you. How many times have you heard cats and dogs that, you know, will get lost and they'll find their owner, or they'll travel on a boat and, you know, all the rest of it, and they'll find their own home, or they'll do this. And I don't care. It's not a compass. It's not, oh, it's the gravity. It's the sun rising. There's a connection to source. There's something that drives these animals to want to be with an individual. And so, what happens when an animal dies? Its soul is recycled. It comes back into another animal, and because they are different from humans, they don't get mind wiped, and they remember their previous owners. So they will attempt to try and find their owner, who will be in a different body. That's a wonderful subject, and I think if the vast majority of people on this planet understood that, they would be a damn sight more respectful to all life forms on this planet. And that's what we need to work towards. Good question. Thank you.
Very good question and very good answer. Thank you, Simon. Okay. How do you feel about continuing this show until it's 2 hours long? Because what happened was...
I'll go on to 8:30, which will be 2 hours, won't
it? Yeah, that'll be fine.
Go on to 8:30.
Yeah, fine. If that's all right. And then so we're kind of halfway between the night. I call it Nightmare Fortnight when... all the shows are 1 hour out, and I keep forgetting to tell my British people, and I've got a British guest, so she's probably not going to come on until 11 o'clock, so halfway through the show. So maybe I'll have
go
another...
on to 8:30, then we've done the 2 hours.
Fabulous. Thank you very much, Simon. Okay, so I can just expand a tiny bit. And, right, oh yes, here we are, in the dark world of the New World Order, from Ryan Elaine or Elaine Ryan. Who, what, work in the field of New World Order, conspiracy, alien research, etc., do you admire and respect the most, and believe in your opinion to be the most accurate? What popular theories or ideas are you skeptical about, and why, besides Flat Earth? We definitely know how you feel about that. Thank you so much, Elaine.
Well, listen, thank you for listening to me, and thank you for, you know, knowing enough to know what I like and don't like. I would preface this by saying that all debate generally is valuable. And I did actually, although I didn't perceive this question earlier, what I don't like is disinformation, which one way or the other does divert people's research or people's attention off the real thing. And again, I was having a conversation with someone earlier, and we were talking about how the focal point for so many spokespeople is to say we've got to get into the fifth dimension. You know, we get through the fourth dimension, get into the fifth, ascension's coming, and everybody's banging on about that. But the point is, what are we doing with ourselves? How are we changing ourselves? You know, do we really expect to get to the fifth dimension if we haven't really sorted our shadow sides out, if we haven't looked at what we are and we haven't changed? Do we just say, well, I'm ready, I want to get to the fifth dimension? But actually, if you're not ready, you're not going to get there. So as much as exciting as it is to talk about we're all moving to the fifth, how about let's look at ourselves and say, are we ready to go to the fifth, personally speaking? How are we inside? How are we doing that? So I don't like people who go on to what I call it, I don't call it the alternative media, really. I call it the true media. And I don't like the word conspiracy theories, because that's what the established elite use as a term to rubbish spokespeople like me. So the true media actually should have people who don't give knowingly false information to deflect people. Many people are paid agents, and that's a shock, I think, to hear that. Many people are paid or placed into the true media to give some genuine information, but then to give some that's not genuine to lead people down the wrong road. I am not going to give you a list of people who I respect or don't respect, because I would like everyone who listens to me to listen to other people and say, ah, right, well, Simon said that, that's backing up what he said. Or, Alex Collier had said that, and that seems to back up her. And draw your own conclusions. Ask your true self, your higher self, your soul, your heart, who sounds genuine to you? Who actually seems to be on our side, the side of humanity? And that sounds very divisive, but this is a war, you know. We are being chemtrailed. They are trying to wipe out part of the human race, and that's a fact. So who is standing with us? Who is standing with us to promote humanity, and who is actually sniping from the sidelines? You know, it's like people start attacking each other on the true media. Oh, goodness sake, attack the Rothschilds, attack the Rockefellers. Don't attack each other. You're just taking the attention away from where we want to be, you know, and people get so screwed up over certain things that are actually quite pointless. Let it go. Let us concentrate on the bigger picture. Let us work towards challenging the control system that exists around us and freeing ourselves from a lot of this. And so anybody who comes on to give truth has got to be a good person.
Okay, thanks very much, Simon, and you have a deal with that. Okay. Oh, yeah. Right, okay. So there's now people are sending like 6 or 7 questions in one, so I'm going to choose one out of all of these questions, because some of them are the same thing. But here's a question from Shiloka. 333. Does being a lesbian mean anything about my soul, stroke, bloodline, or anything?
No, not really. It's got more to do with your soul's choice whether it likes male or female energy. Often you'll see, or I will see, excuse me, I'll see a person who has a great deal of masculine energy, shall we say, but is definitely female. Now that tells me that that person has incarnated in male bodies generally. When a particular soul in a body prefers a sexual partner of the same sex as that body, that is simply because that soul has made a choice to do that. That's not anything to do with right and wrong or bloodline. It's just the choice, which could have been something that was learnt through something that happened, not in this lifetime, but in many previous lifetimes. And to me, it's, you see, because in the world that I also know outside of this third dimension, the control system on this planet in terms of what's right and what's wrong doesn't exist. Those rules don't play out in many off-planet races. And the rules that we've been given have been given to us by the same old elite who wish to stamp their values onto everybody. And that doesn't work when you have millions of people, many of whom have a different soul sex in the to a different sex of the physical body they're in, or the soul has made a choice to be attracted to the same sex, but maybe the body's different. So a lot of all of this is just all nonsense. It's just the control system, whether it's the church, whether it's old-fashioned ideas, or more likely it's just people who feel threatened. I mean, the old generation feel threatened by it. Thank goodness younger people are far more relaxed about it. From a personal point of view, it's never been an issue. You know, it's something that doesn't even occur to me. But it does occur to many people, and it's a problem. And you'd say you know, this is what's so wrong in politics. You know, you could have a gay man or a lesbian woman. Now they can't lose their job because it's illegal to lose their job, but there will be a campaign to undermine them. So, you know, that's how they work it. So no, it's not to do with that. It's far more to do with your own choices many years ago and what has happened to your soul. But it means that if you come back again, you may not be a lesbian. That's what's really exciting and interesting about this. Maybe you could say get the best of both worlds, because each time you incarnate, you will have different experiences. But it's a really fascinating topic.
Fascinating. Anyway, more fascinating things. People have been speaking, you know, and even I think you mentioned these dates, this time of this time of the month, this time of March, March 18th, yep. March 15th, the Ides of March, people, 27th of March. All of these dates of something happening now, and apart from me having a really great birthday, it was lovely. What's been going on, Simon, in the real time thing that is supposed to be kind of unfolding at this moment? Maybe I should ask the question.
Let me answer. It's not. There's no suppose about it. Let me make that clear. It is really happening. I've said between the 15th and 24th of March, there's a great deal taking place. And I'm not the only one to have said that. A number of commentators who I've never met, never even seen, have also independently given those dates or around about those dates. So I'm just, through my own communications, mirroring or reflecting and pushing forward a similar timescale. There is a great deal taking place now between the 15th and the 24th, just because there isn't a firework display, just because a big flying saucer hasn't arrived or the ground hasn't opened up, doesn't mean it's happening. There are many, many psychic people who feel it. They feel something. They can't put their finger on it, but they can feel things are happening, and maybe they are being interfered with. They may be not sleeping properly or whatever's happening, but many people are picking this up. Now, what's happening is that the negative people are battling at the moment with the changes of energy that are occurring. They've always tried to steal the good energy and take it for themselves. But as that energy vibration increases, they find it increasingly hard to use it and work with that energy. They can't. I am expecting some reasonably serious financial situations quite soon to occur from this time scale. So from these 2 weeks, the middle of March, the actions that are going to occur in this time period will feed through to a very physical reality fairly soon. So when these things happen, you will be able to trace them back to this middle March period. You know, let's remind everybody that on end of December 2012, there was undoubtedly a very important shift. But so many well-meaning and believing people who were still on their early days of their own personal journey were desperately disappointed because they expected to see something. And I say to people in all love, what did you expect to see? And they would say, well, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I don't know, a volcano erupting or a big star display, light display, or it becoming as bright as day at 2 o'clock in the morning or something. And I say to them, you know, you're still looking for physical signs. What you've got to do is to look inside yourself and feel the energy. You know, it's like if you go under an electric pylon, you can feel the electricity. And, you know, we feel the displacement in the Earth's consciousness. And when you feel that, you know that the Earth is changing. And we know the Earth changed at that point for the better. And we know things happen and there are great influxes of energy. We know it because our sleeping patterns get put out. We change what we eat. So this time is very, very important. And the effects that we are going to see physically fairly soon now can be traced to this time. The elite know it. That's why we've been chemtrailed crazily. They're upping, I said earlier before this question came in, they're upping their game because we are in this final process. So it is a very important time and, you know, we've just got to hold on. Thanks for the question.
Good, good. Thank you. Right, wrong mouse. Okay. There's got two mice. I have three screens that's controlled by one mouse. And I have a fourth screen that is controlled by another one. But it's good because it's, again, as I said, straight in front of me. Okay. My grill. Oh, it's a girl. Right, okay. Right, okay. So this is from Emily. About children. First and foremost, I love the show. Hello from Norway. I have a question about my girl. She is 7 years old, and she keeps asking me, Mama, are we dreaming? No. And I go, well, I don't think so. It feels very real, but we never know. And my question is, why do you think she's keeping asking me this question? We can drive in the car, we can cook dinner, and she suddenly asks. I don't understand why. Please help me find an answer to her and my curiosity.
So just let me...
So the little girl is saying...
So she's saying, are we dreaming?
Yeah. Is this a dream, Mummy?
Right. Well, what... Without seeing the little girl and talking to her, it's quite difficult, but not impossible. There are more and more people arriving on this planet who... aren't here to do the footwork. They're here to follow on, to lead, because the snowplow has been through and forged a path. So you need other energies to come on and follow through. And these people are the next wave, and they can say, I'm looking out the car window, and I'm looking at the scenery, and this looks holographic to me, but a little girl can't say this looks holographic. What she might say is, this is a bit dreamlike. Is this real or am I in a dream? Is this a construct? And that's what she's saying. Is this a construct? And it is. This is a construct designed to give us experiences. Now, that's really deep stuff. That's really, really deep to go down the road of everything that's created around you is designed to give you experiences because that's what it's all about. And what do you do with those experiences? Do you run away and hide from them, or do you face them up and you try and learn from them? So this little girl, I believe, from the meager evidence that we've got here, but I believe is at a psychic level is looking and saying, I'm not convinced this is real. I think this is pretend real. In other words, I think it's a construct, and it's like being in sleepwalking, or it's like dreaming. When that little girl gets older, before she's brainwashed by the system, sadly, she will use more adult words to describe what she's seeing. And I would suggest that the parent gives her crayons, pencils, and gets her drawing. Get her drawing now. Get her to draw what she feels. Get her to draw what she sees. Let her express herself in a non-verbal language through drawing. And then when she's done that, then the mother perhaps might say, tell me what this is. What is that? What does that mean? Don't put words into the child's mouth. Let that child express and make notes. and you will learn more about what's going on around you than you will from any book. Thank you. You're really good. And one day it'll be lovely to meet you and your daughter. Thank you.
Fab. And I saw somebody else in the chat room said, I felt like this when I was 7 as well. So there we go. Okay, the Queen. About a month ago, this is from Main Street Builders, about a month ago I saw a headline announcing the death of the Queen and then saw the announcement retracted. Just this past week I saw a couple articles that discussed how the media is prepared for the Queen's death with up to 2 weeks' worth of articles about her. Yep. What is the Queen's state of health and will the announcement of her demise, if true, be coming soon? One or article I read stated she was already dead and the announcement was being withheld much like Mandela's was. Thank you so much for all you do to enlighten us with the coming changes.
Good question. Really good question. She did die, but they brought her back. They brought her back because they were not yet in a position to control the fallout from her death. The Queen is pivotal, absolutely pivotal in holding together the whole caboodle of these off-planet, semi-off-planet creatures. And when she goes, they will literally have lost an energy connection to the planet. You don't let your queen go until you've got a suitable replacement. As far as I'm concerned, Queen Elizabeth II is the return of Queen Victoria and Queen Elizabeth I. I believe it's the same soul incarnated three times since then. And I always talked about the Draconis Reptilian. The Draconis Reptilian has a very white, white skin, a bleached white skin. And what did Queen Elizabeth I do to overpower her courtiers, to impress them with her strength? She started putting lead paste on her face to make her face absolutely white. And she also wore a particular style of ruff around her neck, which is very similar to a form of clothing worn by some off-planet entities. It's like fine filigree, which you can wear around your neck. And it's a sign of in special meetings or special ceremonies you would wear that. And she has something exactly identical. I've seen them in both. So she is not well. She has been held and maintained until such time as they are ready to let her go. And she doesn't want to go until they've got the replacement. You see, Charles, who is the rightful in terms of the understanding of the 3D world, they don't want him as king. They don't want him, but Charles actually wants to be king. And the law of England says that a king or queen can only not be so if they write a letter saying they don't want to be king or queen. We've had that once in recent history. But as long as Charles says, I want to be king, he has to be king. But the elite do not want Charles because Charles's father is not the man that we are told it is. Charles's bloodline is not the same. So they will keep Queen Elizabeth going for as long as they can. But yeah, they released, it's quite right, it came from the website of Buckingham Palace, from the royal house itself, announcing her death. And then it was pulled out, actually, the facts are, and then it was released again, and then it was pulled out. And there was no explanation apart from it was an error by a person or some administrative assistant. There's a lot happening. That's why I said this time there's a lot going on. And I think in the future we'll look back and we'll say, my goodness me, I didn't realize just how much upheaval was taking place, just how many decisions were being made and how the established media, the fake news brigade did such a good job at keeping the truth from people. So yeah, she died, but she was brought back and brought back simply because they didn't have a replacement for her. They can't clone her, you see, because the way the rules are, she has to be off the planet for a bit to come back. She's had these, this is a third crack at it, and it is time for a king now, a royal reptilian male, but they haven't got the energy signature to do it yet. So that's what it's all about. It's very interesting. It's a fascinating. It must be absolutely hell in Buckingham Palace at the moment. I'd love to be fly on the wall, as we say.
Fly on the wall, yeah, definitely.
Around the dinner table, hearing them talk.
Now that would be a reality show.
It wouldn't it? And I'm talking about reality. I've done my two hours.
You have. You're again, your perfect sense of timing has brought us to the end of our show. Thank you very much, Simon Parks. Thank you for coming along early, because of the craziness of time zones. One day the time zones will be, you know, maybe you'll, it won't matter.
Time will the show be next time then? Same time?
As a normal time at 7 PM.
The audience know as well.
Yeah, because it's April and we'll be over the nightmare fortnight. So yes, the next show will be at the normal time, 7 PM UK time, and 11 AM. So, any final thoughts?
No, just to say it's for people who are stumbling upon us on some show that trying to charge them. This is Sunday the 19th. I don't have any problem with people disseminating this show. I do have a problem when they make money out of it and that money doesn't go to Wolf Spirit Radio, yourself or me, for the fight and the cause that we're on. So I do object to that. I don't object to the information being shared. I don't like greed.
Absolutely.
So today is Sunday the 19th. 2017. Thank you, JP.
Topped and tailed. Good night, everybody. See you.